يقول الله تعالى: أنا عند ظن عبدي بي. This is a hadith Qudsi, and this hadith has been narrated in various books of hadith, in which is Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nisa'i. And because in the hadith, the rank and status of hadith Qudsi is very great and high. It's like, for example, if we take the understanding that it is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, direct from Allah via the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The difference here in the hadith Qudsi and the Quran, very simply, is that it is not the Quran. It is not the revelation of the Quran. But it is the direct statement of Allah via Rasulullah at a specific time. And mashallah, this is a very great status of this hadith from amongst the hadith. And obviously, because it's a hadith and hadith Qudsi, the meaning of this will be very great. And if we take the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith, if He allows us to understand some aspects of it and benefit from it, and take the benefit from it, then I consider that after hearing this hadith, a person, his life can change direction for the better, for an improved life. And his direction, his focus, his intention and life can improve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in this hadith Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. Allah ta'ala is saying here that Allah has said, I am as my servant thinks of me. I am as my servant thinks of me. And I allow those things to occur as according to the thinking of my servant, intention of my servant, the hope of my servant, desire. So what we realize here is that the servant, the things that he does, or the things that affect him, they are due to his own thinking and his mindset or her mindset. So, therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I am the Khaliq, I am the creator, I have created everyone, I am the Malik, I am the owner. But, although everything is in my control, Allah says, everything is in my control and according to my direction. Allah says, I am the one who allows everything to happen. But how? Allah says, take any human being according to the thinking of that person. However we think or a person thinks, Allah says, I will allow the circumstances to develop according to the thinking of my servant. Aha. So there's a big point that is unraveled here, is that whatever circumstances pass through our life, come across us, issues, problems and difficulties and worries or happiness or sadness, in reality, it is a result of our own thinking and desire and hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that your circumstances and physical realities are a result of your own thinking. And I allow these things to occur. For example, if a person has a very bad thinking or dirty thinking, and it goes down and down and down in levels and in status, and it goes to the lowest level, then his thinking, it stoops to that level that, oh, for example, the tree is my God and he asked from the tree. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, fine, take from the tree if you can. If you can. Or if the serpent is running and scarpering across the land, the snake, and he looks at the snake and thinks it's powerful, he starts to worship the snake and asks from the snake. This is how we stoop low, insan, human being. And we maybe make something, mold something with our own hands, and we'll say, ah, this is my Rabb, and this is my, he will give my, he is my Razik, and he will fulfill my needs and give to me my needs and my wealth and provisions. So this may look a bit weird to us or sound weird, but think, according to that person who's fallen into this thinking, who has, you can say, fallen into the trap, he is so, you can say, staunch on that thinking that, for example, okay, if I drink the urine of this animal, then maybe I've done a pious, good deed. So what is this? This is where Allah Ta'ala says that according to the thinking of my servant, I allow him to follow that track. And he goes onto that path. This is happening in the dunya. And a person, for example, the human being, his thinking can fall in the levels. But the people of Iman, the protection of Iman, Iman has nur and light. And it protects the thinking of that person. That's the difference here. The Iman, the nur of light, doesn't allow the thinking or the hopes of that person to stoop down. But Allah Ta'ala says, beware that do my ibadah, don't do shirk of anything else. Don't do shirk. Allah Ta'ala has given the guarantee to others that your thinking, what's the reason? How does the thinking become impure or wrong? How? Because the thinking, the bad thinking, the evil things, the evil forces or effects, shayateen, devil, Satan, jinnat, the sinful jinnat and nafs and base desires, these encircle us. Allah says that the shaitan and your nafs are your enemies. So we should think that, what does he do with us then? How does he implement his enmity with us? What sort of enemies he with us? Allah Ta'ala says that shaitan and your nafs are enemies of you. So what are they doing? How do they attack me? Do they close down my shop? Or do they allow my business to fail? Do they make me go into an accident? Do they give me physical loss? Or does it allow my business to collapse? Is this what shaitan and nafs are doing? No, these are small, minor things. Really what shaitan does is that he desires that the servant, the creation of Allah, the connection between the servant and the creator is cut. That he shouldn't go even near towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He shouldn't even think about Allah. He should ask from human beings or from material things or objects and believe in them as God. And everything, he should become dependent on the world, and he should have yaqeen that everything's coming from the dunya. Yes? So this is a very good topic. This is something we need to think about. So this doesn't mean that the people of Iman don't get stuck in this issue. Now let's put our glasses on and look around at how much the dunya is trapped in this conundrum, in this vicious cycle or circle that the shaitan and nafs have trapped us and grabbed us. And shaitan makes his customer, client, very strong. And the nafs he brings towards his direction. And then the person thinks, no, this can't happen. If Allah is going to help me, then it has to be through this wrong action. The human being starts to think like that. That yes, Allah does help, but I have to succeed through this methodology, the wrong methodology. That, you know, if my shop and business is going to flourish, then it has to be based on this principle, the wrong principle that's in that person's mind. And Allah's thought is secondary. So this is shirk. What do we call this? What do we term this as? Shirk. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's direction and the connection with the person of Iman, the link with the person of Iman is very deep. That Allah ta'ala doesn't prefer or like at all that between me and my servant, Allah says that there should be an obstacle or some other hope or desire. Allah ta'ala says, Mustajib, I'm listening to you. You ask and I'm listening to you. There's no veil in between. You ask from me. You ask from me, open your mouth. And I will give to you, Allah Ta'ala says, I will give to you. But bad thoughts, wrong thoughts, bad guman, how many people are trapped in this situation? That is me, you, everyone, people who prostrate, lengthy prostrations, and people who pray tahajjud, people who do ibadah until the sun goes down, and everyone's trapped in this vicious cycle. Yeah, that we suddenly allow that jolt to come into our life, and we don't even know that we're doing shirk at the time. It is very dangerous action, very dangerous condition rather, shirk. That when a person thinks away from Allah, so when a person's thoughts go away from Sharia, Quran, Sunnah, away from these things, and when a person changes his direction from Quran and Shara and Sunnah, then he falls into the ocean of nafs, that man, that woman. Why? Because remember this point, that those two enemies are with us, shaitan and the nafs. And Allah has given the examples in the Quran. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, what a great Nabi of Allah, Prophet of Allah. And when his difficult situation came, he said, Allah, please Allah, that my nafs is making me go towards this problem, towards this attraction. So Allah Ta'ala gave the example here, that this is an example, that such a delicate situation, such a delicate and soft situation for the insan, that our maqsad, our objective, is that we need to depart from this world with Iman. Believe my brothers, if we follow the direction of Allah, if a person puts his total trust in Allah, and for succeeding the final second, if we get the success in the final second of life, then all of our ibadat and our struggle and effort will be accepted. And if that last second we don't pass away at the time of death with Iman, that solely we should die for the sake of a person's passing away from the world, totally is focusing on Allah, thinking about Allah. Ta'ala said this in Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that when you depart from this world, remember one thing, that your focus should be totally La ilaha. There's nothing except Allah. There's nothing. At that time, he will be awake, shaitan will have come to visit the person who's dying, jinnat will have come to try to take his iman, and the way we've lived our whole life, if it's negative or temporary or materialism or fraud or deceit, then at that time, will that person who's passing away, will somebody come and tell me the path, that do this now and you'll say the statement and you'll be saved? No, that will be such a time that the whole of the reality of life will flash by the person in front of his eyes. And it's a fact that our whole life, our pastime, 50 years, 60 years, 80 years the person's passed, totally at that time, the sketch will be there in front of the person. And all the amal, all of the amal, and the person, for example, will be smiling. For example, there will be, the angels will come, and there will be, for example, if a person was sinful and had bad actions, then the bad forces and bad images and people with horrible faces and scary faces will be in front of him, and his family will be fighting in front of him. This is my money, and this is for me, I'm inheriting this, and let me take this watch off, let me take this gold off, or this jewelry off. I've seen these things. The mother is passing away, and the children are fighting, that this is my ring, I'm going to take this ring. He said, no, I'm going to take this gold, I'm going to take this bracelet. This is dunya, my brothers. This is dunya, for which all our life, if a person's practice negative, wrong things, then he will get the effect of the time. Yes, maintain the relationships and give the haq to people according to Sharia. Mother, father, brother, sister, everyone's rights are there. Allah Ta'ala has put this in our lives. But don't go beyond the excess. Don't go beyond the limit. The person, if Sharia says give this haq, this is the right due to this person, give it. But don't go beyond your those guidelines of marriage, where you fall into the ocean of your love and give beyond that, or don't give enough, then you will lose out. So Allah Ta'ala says it's according to your thinking. The shaitan and jinn and our nafs, and these forces don't allow us to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They put dirt and impurity into our lives and put difficulties and problems. Then what happens? Allah ta'ala says clearly in this hadith that when a person sees that, for example, he is going away from Allah ta'ala's deen, Allah ta'ala's direction, then consider he's not on that path close to Allah. Allah is Rahim, merciful with his servant, Kareem and merciful and gracious. Allah says, I'm Ar-Rahman. And before that, Allah ta'ala said, I'm Rabb. I am the Rabb. End of story. That's enough for us to know that a father, if he says to his son, I am your father, that's it. Then Sada, he says, yeah, this is my father. He is my protector. He's driving his house. He's taking his... He says, this is my father. This is my father's. I can use this. This owns me. This is my father's factory. Is it yours? No, it's my father. It's my father. Look at this. Because his thinking is with his father. It's so solid and strong with his father that everything of his father's, he thinks it's his. And he says, if I speak, the other people will be quiet. This is my father's. Don't tell me, oh, be quiet, this is his father's. Don't say anything. Because he thinks that this is his right as well. So Allah Ta'ala says, I am your Rabb. I am your Lord. Aha. Understand that. The comparison, Allah says that I'm your Rabb, and if I say Allah, this is my Rabb, he's with me, then the whole universe will shake. How can it be that somebody tries to change? If my Rabb has said this and he's with me, then will I die hungry? Will I have poverty? Will Allah pest to me? Will a small child, a little child, a girl, she says, Mama, Mama, and the mother runs to that child. The mother, and she can't speak, can't talk, cannot have a dialogue, but Allah Ta'ala has transported the concern. Little girl, 3, 4 months, 1 year, 2 years old. She can't say anything. She says, Ma, Ma, Ma. Now, she's asking for this. And we are amazed that she's asking. How did you know she's asking for this? And the mother says, no, I've got that communication. She's got some pain. She wants to sleep now. She wants to go and urinate now. Or she wants to go out. Or he wants to go out. Mother knows this. The mother and the father, they know the children. So what is that dialogue? What is that language? Because the mother and the child are innocent. And they're thinking the child is innocent. And totally, the connection is there between that child and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Totally with Allah, the Rabb, the Creator. Soon as the child calls out, then Allah Ta'ala allows that message to go to the human beings. The mother runs, the father runs. They say, oh, this is what the child wants, the girl or the boy. And they do, because the child called out to Allah, the Rabb, and the message went to the parents. And is this not the connection that we have with Allah? So what's the first example that I give? What I said? So that was the example I said to you, that a man, he started to count. Remember, he was falling, and he grabbed hold of the branch. He said, save me, save me, save me. I'm going to die. There's a mountain. I'm going to fall. There's such a height. I'm going to fall down wilderness. And the call out came, the announcement from Allah, that if I save you, who are you? Who are you? Save me, save me. Allah, Allah. Allah said, I'm your Allah. Allah, you are my Rabb. Allah, save me. Allah said, if I tell you what to do, will you listen? He said, yes, Allah, I will listen to you. I'll take your orders. Allah said, then let go of the branch. He said, huh? Let go of the branch. He said, is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? And this is our hal today. We sat down in the masjid. We've come from Hajj, a little bit ill, and we go somewhere else here, left, right, forward, backwards, and thousands of different resources we look for. If only I make the connection with my Rabb, I swear by Allah, one Rabb, Allah. And what is the reason for this weakness? Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in this hadith that your thinking is awry, it is off track, it is bent, it is not straight. Our thinking is not straight with Allah. Allah says, otherwise, I am as my servant thinks of me. Imagine how great that person becomes. Allah says, whatever you say, I will give to you. Whatever you think positive, I'll give to you. Have you not seen the lives of the awliya Allah? Well, I feel like this occurs now. And the door knocks and that same thing comes. The sahaba kiram, let's look at their lives. Alhamdulillah, the lies of the Sadiqan, that he struck his foot and the fountain gushed forth. The spring gushed forth from the earth. This was what you're thinking. But Allah, I told you that event about those three men. I've told you this hadith before. Look at their thinking, what their thinking was. That they were trapped in the cave, there was no one to help. No phone, no mobile phone. No landline phone, no mobile phone, no cell phone, nothing. No communication. Locked up, darkness, in the cave. In the cave. And who can save them? Who will come to listen to them? Tell me, can we think? Then they were all locked up in the cave. The rock has covered the face of the cave. The three men, they're sealed, but they didn't think we're going to die. All three thought, "La, let's think now." Look how their thoughts were very solid. That let's turn our focus and thinking to Allah. Aha. And Shaitan said, "Why are you looking for Allah here? You are locked up, sealed in the cave, rocks in front of you. Are you going to move it? You foolish? Are you mad?" And that's how our thinking is in the world. When a difficulty comes, then we don't even feel like going towards the prayer mat. Because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whenever a difficulty comes in the life, a problem, a difficulty, whatever happens, illness, difficulty, shaitan, jinn, magic, or spell, or evil forces, or darkness, or problems, look at the lives of the Sahaba. Maut, death comes. Even if your close relative dies, don't do anything. Do wudu, go to the prayer mat, and focus on Allah. But we don't do this. We don't do this. We're not even conscious at that time. When a problem comes, we're not even conscious, not thinking reality. We're looking for assistance, help. We run around, foolish like headless chickens. "Oh, please help me. Can you do this?" "Oh, he knows that person. Let me ask him for help." All night long, wakils and solicitors. That's it. "Oh, this person." Oh, in other words, nobody thinks that soon as this problem has occurred, and Allah Ta'ala said that even in happiness people, they lose themselves. They don't think straight or proper. Allah Ta'ala says, when the happiness time comes, then don't be grateful or happy to anyone. Turn to me straight away, do wudu, and come to the prayer mat and pray and be grateful. Allah says, how your problems are solved at that time. See, am I right or am I wrong? Allah gives the guarantee. Allah says, I know everything, I see everything. Allah has unraveled the whole life in a few words. Ah, oh, what a great treasure the Qur'an and the hadith give to us. Great treasures, great ni'mas. So now straightforward, we understand one point here. That when we are trapped in a problem, a difficulty, an issue, then don't blame Allah. Don't say, "Oh, this is my destiny. Oh, look, Allah Ta'ala did this. I pray salah, I keep fast." No, because these four or five salah that we prayed, they have made us think so big-headed that all success is in this salah. That I prayed four or five times a day, and that's it. I think I've trapped Allah, astaghfirullah, in my hands, and whatever I ask for, Allah will give to me. Brothers, this is fard. If we don't pray this, then we will be punished. This is a part of the deen, and it's a sign of the mu'min that Allah Ta'ala is calling you. Pray. Remember Allah. This isn't the guarantee and the seal that everything you ask for or think of, that whatever you want and whatever you desire you will get. No, don't think that you've put your whole destiny into your hands. Yes, through salah you can get to all success, but when your thinking is focused positively to Allah, every ibadah becomes azim and great at that time. How can that be that if our thinking and our life with Allah is straight, and we put our hands up after salah and ask Allah, Allah will not fulfill our desires? Of course He will. Will He not eliminate our problems? Of course He will. Or if it's in our destiny, problems, difficulties, worries, hassles, calamities, fine. So when we turn to Allah with the positive thinking, positive thoughts, then Allah will say, fine, you've got all these problems and I'll give you sabr so that you can be happy. People say, look at this, look at you, you got so many problems. You say, no problem, this is benefit for me. I've seen the person lost millions. People are coming, "Oh, your shop went downhill, you lost business, how sad." And he's laughing, smiling. They're saying, "Are you mad? Are you crazy? That you've lost millions, millions within hours you've lost, and every people ran away with your money and they stole your money, and you're laughing, smiling?" Because Allah has promised, whether it's happiness or sadness, the person who's got positive thinking with me, I will give him happiness in both modes. He's smiling, laughing. No problem, more will come. What did I have before? It came and it's gone now. Allah gave to me before and Allah will give me again. No problem. Let's talk about something else. Let's sleep with ease. What's this? This is the way. Allah says, "I am with my servant as he thinks of me." Let's go back to those three men. They focused to Allah, paid attention, they turned to Allah. Okay, let's call to Allah. We're trapped in the cave. This rock that's covered the face of the cave, this mountain, what is this? Allah is the creator. They knew that Allah is in control. He's the Rabb. He's the creator. Can He not move this rock? Of course He can. What do we say? "Oh, call that brother. Or have you got a phone number? Do you know that person? Have you got his business card? Can he help me? Oh, let's get this rock out of the way." First, we push ourselves. No, they sat down peacefully with ease. They didn't try to move the rock. They said that we are dirty and impure and sinful people, but maybe we did an action in our life that Allah Ta'ala became pleased with that action. Subhanallah. So all three of them, they looked towards their amal and they presented their deeds to Allah. The first man, and he presented his deed, the rock moved a bit. Second man presented his deed, the rock moved a bit. Halfway it moved, more than that. The third man presented his good deed, and the rock moved, and they all came out of the cave. What was this? This was their positive and good thinking towards Allah. Our car doesn't stop. Our car doesn't move. There's a puncture. We run off somewhere else. Turn to Allah and say, Allah Ta'ala sends help straight away directly. Even if the car is there, but Allah Ta'ala will send you to the destination. Your plane, Allah Ta'ala will allow you not to miss it. I've seen the experience of this. The plane will not be missed, inshallah. Because this is in your destiny, this is going to occur. The illness is going to occur. The accident was going to occur. That difficulty was going to come to your life, my life. But Allah says, think properly, positively towards me. Allah, we will come to you, whatever occurs. This is our life, the experience, and we had to do this because life is ups and downs. Boats, you know, the boat on the sea, the crests of the wave. The life is like traveling on an ocean. It's never smooth in the ocean. There's ups and there's downs. There's the positive and the negative, the crest of the wave and the dip of the wave. What we have to see is that the ship, is it going in the right direction? Is our objective the right direction? Is our markaz an objective of life? The connection of the rope with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the question doesn't arise that you will go off course. You will go to the course, but up and down. So do we understand? So what is the fault of all the problems we have in life? It's the servant. Do we understand now? Do we accept? So first and foremost, if we see negative issues in our life, then understand that it's our own fault due to our own thinking and bad hopes and desires. Allah says that your hopes and desires were negative and your life has taken that negative course. But when you were positive and had a good outlook, then the goodness will come to you. You are a criminal or a bandit or a sinner, or like shaitan, and you, for example, you have a person who worships an idol, it's told him, isn't it, that you thought that Allah should come into your pocket and I just say what I want and this should occur. Allah says, fine, then make your God whatever you want to make and see what occurs after that. So we think that this is bad, but we maybe are doing worse than this in a shirk. We are playing with iman. Aren't we doing this? As mu'mins, Allah says, that's why Allah says, save yourself from shirk. So what we realize, my friends, is that our thinking, why is it negative? Why is it wrong? Shaytan and the nafs, shayateen and the nafs, they grab hold of our thinking, they make us weak, and they make us do ibadah as well. The person has to do ibadah, he's got iman. But shirk, he does it with shirk alongside with shirk. The person doesn't have yaqeen in Allah, and then he starts to trust other wasail and resources and means and this and this and this. Whatever happens, if we make our thinking correctly and the connection with Allah Ta'ala is strong, then even if death comes, then Allah Ta'ala will give shahadat for that person. Allah will give shahadat for that person. So this is the point, that Allah Ta'ala says that he did not shake, he did not wilt, he was focused directly towards me, Allah Ta'ala said, and he believed in me, and he persevered through the problems, and he never shook and never fell. He said, ahad, ahad. He kept on calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. This is Allah Ta'ala's request to us and demand, that a person, even if he's very high in status, and he passes away and saying, Allah, 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 but his thinking, he didn't allow it to go towards anyone else. And he passed away. And people say, oh, he'd made a mistake. If you were rich today, if you had made this much money and wealth, if you had done this in the world, you'd been wealthy, you would have had these assets and goods and buildings, or you could have you had problems, you could have gone somewhere else for the solution. But he knew that Allah Ta'ala has given me this problem. I will call out once because Allah is the greatest. He is the one who will complete my requests and give to me what I need. I won't go to anyone else. I'll call out to Allah direct. He is the one who will listen. If Allah Ta'ala wills, then he will create the resources and the means, and my issues will start to be resolved. And if my life, this is not in my destiny, it's not going to occur, even then I will call out to Allah, and my end, my death comes like this, subhanallah, then there will be nobody who can see my rank and status that I will get in the hereafter. Subhanallah. So is not the thinking of a person made stronger and more positive? So in this hadith, this is quite a long hadith, and I will shorten it so we understand. Allah Ta'ala said, as I said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِ بِي. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah said, I am as my servant thinks of me. We understood all of these points, didn't we? Now Allah Ta'ala gives the cure. How can we improve our lives, improve ourselves, so that we think positively about Allah? Because shaitan won't help us, nafs won't help us. I'm listening, you're listening. And when we leave this masjid, shaitan will attack us, and we'll forget all what we discussed, and then we'll go again back to our lives of old. Yes, that's fine, Allah did say this, but I think it's hard for me. Hazrat Shaykh did say correctly, but even then, so the but keeps on coming. So we need a cure for the buts. Who's Allah Ta'ala knows. He created us. Manufacturer of our lives is Allah. Allah Ta'ala put the tires on, the engine, the battery. Allah Ta'ala charged up. Allah is the Malik. He knows that what switch will occur at which position. Allah knows that the mind of this person is like this. When we sit in front of the Quran and the Hadith, we're listening to somebody, we're listening, sitting in front of Wali Wala, there'll be no mu'min as good as him, Allah Ta'ala says. The angels will be proud of him. When he sat in a good majlis, he's pious at that time, nur will come into him, and the angels will be proud of him. But when a person then leaves a majlis, he leaves a masjid, he's right what he's saying, but that's why it is stated that when a person's mind and thinking is not correct, then he cannot even get the faith from the Wali Wala's company. He cannot get the faith from the Kaaba, because his thinking is not positive. He's got doubts everywhere. He's reading Quran, he's doubting Quran. Why? Because his thinking, the shaitan, has made his thinking negative. His nafs takes him to negative. And nothing looks beneficial to him from the deen, from Allah, the Quran, and the deen. No, ibadah looks beneficial. And the company of the wali of Allah, or his statements, will not look beneficial for him. And the Allah Ta'ala's fazail and the virtues of amal. For example, Allah says, go to the company of a wali and you'll get benefit and you get reward, and he becomes weak. He leaves weak from that gathering. There's no benefit of this really in the dunya. And then no benefit comes. Because Allah says, I am with my servant as he thinks of me. And the other person's thinking is positive. Oh, I've read this hadith. Or oh, I was in the company of the sheikh. I've read this hadith that take the company of the sheikh, and the hadith says there's benefit. And then his thinking becomes strong and solid. Then he goes to that company of the sheikh or the wali, and he gets the solid benefit. So what's Allah Ta'ala saying here? That I am with my servant as he thinks of me. As he thinks and according to what he wants. So if we see that a person, there are different murids, different students of a sheikh. One student is very high in status, one is lower. And one is following the direction and the connection, the other one isn't. Because Allah says, when you sit in front of the company of the sheikh and your thinking's positive, you have good intention, then the diseases go, the illnesses go, your iman goes solid, your deen becomes solid. And he thinks, the student, doesn't matter how sinful I am, but at least I'm taking the company of my sheikh, then the color, the effect, the personality of the sheikh rubs off onto that student. Then there's another student, sits more in front of the sheikh, listens more in front of the sheikh, is closer maybe, but his thinking negative, and then he goes away from the connection of the sheikh, from the benefit of the teaching of the sheikh. He goes towards shirk and doubts and rejection. And now you're listening to what I'm saying. Shaitan's doing his work. Shaitan will say, no, don't listen to this. He's injecting you with bad thoughts, negative thoughts. Everybody's listening. But what I'm saying, from here, from the left, from the right, different places, shaitan will say, no, no. Oh, I heard different people said different things. I don't think what sheikhs are saying is correct. So shaitan and our nafs will affect us. They'll attack us to think negatively and wrongly. But the end point is this. The end point is this, that what is there that makes our destiny, improves our destiny and gives us a good life? It's our own thoughts, but shaitan will try to impact on our thoughts and thinking. Allah Ta'ala says that you do think wrong and you do think negative, shaitan and your nafs do attack you. What is this? What is this that makes us think, and what gives us the effect in heart? Qalb, the heart. You understand the meaning of qalb? The qalb, the meaning of heart, is something that keeps on changing. It's flexible. It flips up and down. It's like a yo-yo. Never trust on it entirely 100%. Because the meaning of qalb is that organ that constantly changes. Because the feeling, the affection, the emotions, and the condition of the heart doesn't remain constant. For example, you're sat here, I'm sitting, you're sat here, we're enjoying ourselves, we're sat in the masjid, there's an environment, we're listening to the hadith, Allah's nur and rahmah and mercy is coming, then dhikr will happen. So a beautiful feeling has developed in our hearts, nur. But within a second, this can change. As soon as we leave this environment, then the qalb will start to go downhill, it won't stay the same. If we think the heart can stay constantly the same, then mashallah would be floating in the air as great believers. So why has this been termed the qalb, the heart? Allah Ta'ala says the heart is such, it changes condition very quickly. The strength of iman goes up and down, just like we say the weather in England, it changes rapidly. Take the umbrella, don't think the sun's out, in a few moments it may rain. So the heart can change even quicker than the climate in the UK, just like we don't have trust in the weather. Allah Ta'ala says don't have 100% trust in the heart. Remember this. This is the point. This is a very dangerous thing. Now here, a person sat in dhikr, he's reading Quran, he's in the masjid, for example. And for example, let's take Ramadan. Aren't we feeling different today to what we were in Ramadan? If Ramadan was here now, and we were in the masjid reciting, praying Taraweeh, we'd be feeling so good. And as soon as Ramadan passes, we become like animals and monkeys. We leave the deen, we forget what we learned in Ramadan. So what's that? Where's that heart gone that was there in Ramadan? Where's that heart full of nur in Ramadan? The feelings, the mercies came, Allah's nur came, Taraweeh, Quran. And we felt enjoyment, didn't we? Where's that all gone?
What we realize is that don't trust entirely on the heart. It keeps on changing, flipping, constantly. So what Allah, what shall we do? Allah says control. What is Allah Ta'ala saying? Control your hearts. Allah, how shall I control my heart? How can I do this? That we'll pass, that if I try to control my heart, I will lose out in the world. Then what will happen when I die, when the angel of death will come and he will do salam, he'll take our ruh? What will we do then if we start trusting in the heart then? We should trust now. No, the people of fikr, they understand these points. They know in their hearts that death will come. In their minds, the point is there ingrained that death will come. Wallahi, they don't sleep all night. They know that the night of the grave is severe. They know that what will occur in the grave, the tests, the trials, and it's going to come very soon and quickly. They think that Allah, that if the heart is like this, that it constantly changes. So what can I trust? Or how can I make my heart firm and intact and solid? How can I make my heart so good and in a good way, good condition, that my heart can stay constantly in a good position so that even when I die, it's in a good strong position of iman? Allah Ta'ala says, yes. In this hadith, Allah Ta'ala then gives guidance further. Wa ana ma'ahu. Subhanallah. What is Allah Ta'ala saying here? What is Allah Ta'ala saying? That you, Allah Ta'ala says, I am with my servant as he thinks of me. And here Allah Ta'ala says further, wa ana ma'ahu. Ah, say subhanallah loudly. Subhanallah. Aha. Great, great guarantee Allah is giving. At the time of death, Allah, yes, I'm with you. Allah, when I'm about to pass away, yes, I'm with you. When my last breath is being extracted, yes, I'm with you, Allah says. Acha. Is it Allah? Allah says, angels will come, they'll ask me questions in the grave. Allah says, yes, I'll be with you. I will give the answers. Allah, is it? Allah, and what about in the darkness of the grave, the first night of the grave, when people will have lowered me and buried me, dangerous night, hard. I will have just left the world, my mother, my sister, brothers, friends, shops. I will have left my businesses, my money, my bank accounts, my assets, my everything. Look, for example, when you go on a journey, and in the morning you have to depart for the journey, and you start loving the children. Okay, my wife, my children, I'm going. You're only going to India for 2 weeks, but then you feel so sad, you're leaving the children. You look at your house, your rooms. Oh, will I come back? You feel sad. But what about when we are going to depart the world forever? And we look at our bed and our family around us and our children and your wife and your brother and your sister and your relatives, and you don't want to leave, and they try to keep you back with them. Like, for example, in a dream, you see it's so hard, you want to scream, you can't scream, you try to run, but you can't run. It's so hard, and you'll be in that position at the time of death. They'll try to grab you. You say, my son, and you'll kiss him and hug him, but nothing will occur. You will have to leave the world. And after that, we'll be thrown into the ditch of the grave. It'll be a darkness of the first night of the grave. Will this come to you and me or not? It will come, won't it? So how do we prepare for that? Aha. Allah says, wa ana ma'ahu. I'm with you. So do we want Allah to be with us? Do we? Do I? Do I make a true promise? Am I honest? Are you honest? Allah says, wa ana ma'ahu. I'm with you. That you come to me with your thoughts. You had shaitan, nafs in the world, making you think negative, go towards wrong. But Allah says, wa ana ma'ahu. When I'm with you, then my rahmah will come to you. My mercy will come to you. My grace will come to you. My blessings will come to you. My fadl will come to you. Allah's name. How Allah? How can I get you to be with me through all the phases of life and death in the grave? Allah says, dhakara. Allah says, dhakara. Do my dhikr. And this is the dhikr of Allah that the friends of Allah have prescribed. Allah, I've told you the hadith of Qudsi. Allah Ta'ala says, do my dhikr, dhakara. Look at this, try to do dhikr. Let's do it. Oh, dhakaran. Allah Ta'ala says, do my dhikr. Soon as you do my dhikr, Allah says, you remember me, straight away, immediately I'll be with you. At straight away, that same second, Allah, how long? As long as you remember me, I will be with you, Allah says. I'll be with you. As long as you remember me. Allah says, at the time of death, you'll be remembering me, I'll be with you. When you go home, you remember me in your shop, at your business, workplace, in your office, wherever you are in the world. Allah says, you keep on remembering me, wa ana ma'ahu, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Allah, so do we have now yaqeen and belief in Allah that Allah is with His servant as He thinks of Allah? Do you have this yaqeen now? So should we not have good thoughts now? Do you see now how great is the dhikr of Allah? Now, if now a foolish human being still doesn't understand these points and wants to take his destiny into his own hands and he wants to mold his own life, can there be a more foolish person than him? What should we do? Dhikr Allah. That's it. We need to correct our thinking, positive intentions and thoughts and desires and aspirations. When we do this, then we have taken our aspirations and thoughts and hopes and desires and thinking out of the hand of shaitan and we've assigned it to Allah. Then Allah says, I will steer your ship. I will steer your life. I will take you towards the track. Before shaitan and jinn were guiding you, now I will guide you, Allah says. I will be with you. Ana ma'ahu. Allah. Oh, my salah is 5 times a day. Allah says, yes it is. After that Allah says, then dhakara. Remember me. Dhakaran. Yani, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
has not given us a specific time that just depend on this ibadah. No, that after praying salah, a person can become an animal again. He's in the masjid. He can be sinning. He prayed salah in the congregation, left the masjid, became an animal, sinful again. Where's the salah gone? And there's a lot of time now from Fajr till Dhuhr. Such a big gap, and shaitan will grab us. He will influence us. What do we do then, Allah? How can we be safe from him? And such a great ibadah has given salah. And Allah Ta'ala has given, you know, the greatest from all of the ibadah, salah has the highest rank. And then Allah says, wait all year long for Ramadan. How many months left? How many days, weeks? I've got to buy a ticket, go on Ramadan, on Umrah. And what do I do? Let's take Hajj. Hajj will come once in our life. And even then, if we've got money, and if it is far, then we can go and see the house of Allah. And Rawdah Mubarak, we can go to the Rawdah Mubarak and do ziyarah to the Prophet ﷺ. Do you understand? Only then can we go. And remember, alongside what I'm saying on top of this, if you got money, then the condition that you need those eyes, that they have to be halal money to allow us to go to do ziyarah. That if the person, that until today is very difficult to see the people who've done Hajj with the halal funds. Difficult to see. Remember this point. That's just a waste of time, you can say. If a person doesn't have halal funds and he's doing Hajj or Umrah, if you want to see the house of Allah, Ka'batullah, then every penny that is saved like the walis of Allah used to their whole life, subhanAllah. Such events that the people, the way they prepared for that journey, that people's hairs can stand on it, the how people did Hajj. How people collected the money, saved the money all their lives, slowly, slowly saving halal earnings. Not one penny of haram. They didn't let it mix. That we will not allow any money to mix in that box, because I want to see Allah's house purely. And in the first sight of the house of Allah, they saw, subhanAllah, imagine the jalwa and the noor that they saw. What halal, the conditions that befell them, subhanAllah. So, places are very high. Salah is a great ibadah. There's no comparison to salah. We cannot imagine that there's any ibadah greater than this. But we'll only benefit when our heart is constantly focusing on Allah. Allah says that I'm with you. Ana inda dhanni abdi. Allah says, ana wa anahu. And how, Allah, can we keep you with us all the time? Wa dhikr Allah. Wa la dhikr Allah. Allah says, dhikran kathira. As soon as salah finishes, straight away start dhikr of Allah. Does Allah Ta'ala not say this? As soon as your ibadah, any ibadah you're doing, grab hold of my dhikr, Allah says, so none of the time of your day stays empty or void of my remembrance. Salah finishes, do my dhikr. The gap between one salah to another salah, Allah says, do dhikr. Allah says, do my dhikr, la'alakum tuflihun. That do dhikr Allah kathiran, la'alakum tuflihun. After salah, do dhikr. Do hajj, do dhikr in parallel. Is this not the case? With every ibadah, Allah Ta'ala has stated that do my dhikr, remember me. We say dhikr is bid'ah. We say dhikr is innovation. The bad thoughts have come again. What are they doing? Why are they sat here doing dhikr? What's shaitan making them do? This is the bad thoughts of a person. Allahu Akbar. That Allah Ta'ala says that do dhikran kathira la'allakum tuflihun, so you can attain success. But people who don't understand this, who think wrongly, but the people who've understood, wala dhikr Allahi akbar, Allah says dhikr Allah is the greatest ibadah. It will deliver your deeds to acceptance. While you're dying, you'll say la ilaha illallah from your mouth. While you're dying, all of the jinn and all the but and the Satan that will come, they will try to influence you, but you will die with iman, because Allah says wa ana ma'hu, because I'm with you. So I could speak for a long time, but I've given you a little hint that, my friends, dhikr of Allah is a great thing. If you want to be successful, then if you want to control your thoughts and make them positive, and you understand that the heart is not in our control, it never is. Today I've got a heart, it won't be tomorrow. At the time of death, it won't be. And there's only one cure. Wa ana ma'ahu. Allah says that keep Allah with us. And how do we keep? Who do we keep with us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's it. And how will Allah Ta'ala be with us all the time? Oh, dhakari. Allah says, do my dhikr and I will be with you all the time. Wherever, Allah says, don't worry. When you're doing my dhikr, that I will come with you and I will help you, assist you. You keep on remembering me and you will leave this world without any worries. I will be with you and all of your affairs will be easy and smooth. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you, all of us, the tawfiq. Ameen. Let's do the dhikr of Allah.